Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company. Learn how to grow your small business or nonprofit by outsourcing your HR and payroll functions. OasisAHR.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. My guest is Robert Lewis. He goes by the nickname of Louie. He is, he is Questor. And Questor is an organization. It is a company that does market research for Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 companies all across the United States. And if you caught our earlier segment, that was all about market research and what it is that Questor does. Fascinating, fascinating stuff using artificial intelligence. And we're going to turn the page now and talk more about Louie, because something you don't know about him is impactful. Louie, welcome back. Good to have you, my man.
Thanks, Michael, for doing this segment.
Well, this is a highly personal segment, and I get it. I'm grateful that you are willing to speak about it, because many people won't or don't. But we had talked about Questor being a company that had received the Dobie Award. That's Disability Owners Business Enterprise Award, because you are a 51% owner, and you are disabled.
Yes.
So we've already talked about business. Let's talk about your disability.
Well, I'll clarify that I am part of Questor, but I'm in the background pretty much. I've
sure.
got all these great employees handling most of it. So I'm able to enjoy the time doing things like this.
What's the best part of your day?
Oh, it has to be in the morning. That's when I have most energy. I run out of energy pretty quickly because of all the things I deal with.
Right.
But reading the emails in the morning and being a part of something, I've had a couple of meetings already today that I laughed a little bit.
I came in, you were meeting with the president of the company, Tim Hoskins.
That's correct.
Yeah, and he came out. He looks great, by the way.
He does. Yes, he is.
And I've had the pleasure of knowing Tim for quite some time. And you guys, I was outside of your office. I heard you laughing and having a good time. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Well, Tim has been with me, and we've been together 7 or 8 years. And for the most part, we're tied at the hip. We get into some pretty amazing arguments, but it's all healthy. It's good. We will go afterwards and support each other, whatever we need to do. So we've got each other's back.
When somebody would meet you, Louie, they would recognize immediately that you're not running on all cylinders here. There's something going on.
Well, I hope that you mean that physically.
That physically, yes, sir.
Mentally, you could debate that as well some days. But
what is it, Louie? What do you have? What's
it's
going
quite
on?
Quite a saga.
Yes.
I have been lucky in my life to have survived several different occurrences of major health issues. When I was born, I was, I guess, a blue baby and a breech baby, and they baptized me almost immediately because they said I wasn't going to make it. And so I've been fighting that ever since. When I was in high school, I started having some severe psoriasis on my hands, and that was the precursor to figuring out what was going on with me. I remember one Christmas, Dad and I were shingling a building, and I had an apron of nails that I was reaching in to get the nails, and I couldn't find a nail. And close your ears if you don't want to hear this part, but cover your ears. But I kept reaching in my apron and then pulled my hand out and had about 6 nails hanging from my hand because I couldn't feel it.
Couldn't feel the nails.
And that was the start of things. And Dad just, I brought him to tears, and he said, oh, we got to do something. So I ended up going to Mayo Clinic I had a chiropractor told me first and foremost that I had something going on. He didn't tell me, but he told my folks that there's something underneath my vertebrae that's causing some real issues. And then after that, I ended up going, I started in college, and then I ended up going to a Mayo Clinic for 2 years as an outpatient, and they misdiagnosed me. They never once x-rayed my neck. When I told them that my neck burns incessantly with a sneeze. And I think, you know, one of the main reasons they didn't x-ray there was because I had said that a chiropractor said, you know?
Yep.
And so I was there for 2 years as an outpatient. They did a lot of EMGs, which is doing the needles in the muscles. And then finally in 1974, when I was in college, I happened to be Bishop Parade chairman that year, and I was exhausted with my health, and I wasn't going to class very often. I just couldn't physically do it. Dad said, I've got an appointment for you down at Iowa City. And I said, I'm not going. But he said, you will go if we have to tie you up, okay? And so I ended up going down there, and Dr. Rudnitsky, a neurologist at Iowa City, at the end of half our interview, he said, what do you think's wrong with you, Mr. Lewis? And I said, I've got something in my neck. And he put his pencil down on his very clean desk and turned around in his chair, called x-ray. I was back in 30 minutes, and he said, you're right, there's something under there. Your vertebrae are grossly inflamed with tremendous amount of calcium buildup. So they did what was then the myelogram. This was pre-MRI, and that was a terrible test. They strap you, if you're not familiar with it, on a table that tilts, and I was on my stomach with my chin extended with a block of wood, keeping the iodine from going into my brain from my spine. And there was obviously a blockage that would not allow it to go to the full extent of my spinal cord. So I ended up having surgery on June 7th, 1974, and they told me there's a good chance that I'll be a quadriplegic and blind, and that I'll be in the hospital 90 days. I was in the hospital 31 days. I was running again in 45 to 50 days. I recovered and healed very, very fast. I was able to see slides of the entire surgery with my team, and my main doctor ended up carrying those slides with him for years, doing continuing education all over the world. And that's one of the things I regret. I wish I had a copy of those slides. So,
right.
But I've had lots of people through the years that were in that field. A neuroradiologist I met in San Diego 1 year, I said, you know my doctor? He goes, oh, no. He asked me what was wrong with my hands, because my hands had deteriorated from before 1974 to the point where they looked like an 80-year-old man. They were more functional than they are now. But anyway, he said, I don't know your doctor. And then finally, I said, yeah, he travels the world giving slideshows of for continuing education. He goes, oh my gosh, is your doctor Indian? I said, yes, Dr. Manizi is from Iowa City. He said, oh my gosh, I was out here at Stanford a month ago for continuing education, and
case.
He gave the lecture. So I moved forward. I finished college and then started a job and then went out on my own, had my own company. In 1979, I started my first company, and I was pretty much, I've been on my own with my own company since then, dealing with the health issues. And in 1998, I was diagnosed with needing to get some scar tissue out of the original surgery area. So I started taking care of myself. I got rid of a company and started exercising, lost some weight, and the symptoms went away. Okay. So I really didn't work very hard for a couple, three years in there. I was basically retired. And then I was called by a bank to help with a big situation in 2004, and I thought, you know what, I'm feeling good enough. I think I can go back to work. So that's when I entered Quester. And then in 2005, I ended up buying the company with two other individuals. And then in the fall of 2005, my health started going down again. You might think that it has something to do with working hard again, but I'm not going to give it that credit. And so I ended up having surgery in February of 2006. Ended up having post-surgical bacterial meningitis.
Oh, my.
They brought me back. I was on the way to surgery. I actually went into full code, and because of the fact that there were two doctors beside me, they brought me back, and I was in the hospital then for 70 days when they had told me it was going to be a quick in the hospital for a week and back to work in 30 days. So that's quite a burden when you just bought a new company.
Right.
What I have before that caused the original surgery, they found out, was Chiari malformation, which is your skull is too big for your brain, and it pushes down on the brainstem area, and then it develops brain fluid around the brainstem, causing it to dysfunction, and then when that area fills up, the brain fluid goes down the spine, which is called cerebral myelia. And so everywhere that brain fluid touched on my spinal cord, those nerves dysfunctioned, and they twitched 24/7, just simply wearing out the muscles in my hands and arms.
And so at this point, this is a progressive disease.
Yes.
That has continued to impact your way of life.
Yes.
Tell me about your day today. I mean, your day, any day. You have to have help eating, dressing.
Pretty much 24/7.
Pretty much everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're still in a company that's doing business.
Well, what would I do if I didn't? I mean, I would, you know, I'm never bored. I'm a lot of work. I was able to drive myself to surgery before I got the post-surgical bacterial meningitis. The bacteria that actually caused my meningitis, I have a letter to the full extent of what I'm going to tell you. It was actually fecal material that somebody did not wash put fresh gloves on during surgery. So I got that in my brain from surgery. So they say that I'm one of one that survived that. I'm sure that it's happened many times. Of course, Michael, you could probably make a few jokes over that.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, we're not going
We're not going to go there on the radio, but forgive me.
But
that's been said many times.
I'm sure it has.
You know? So I'm lucky. I should not have survived when I was 21, and I shouldn't have survived when I was born, and I should definitely have not survived the post-surgical bacterial meningitis.
Right.
At age 53, I mean, that's a death sentence.
Yeah. All right. So here you are. You're in this company. You're doing business every day. You agreed to sit down with me for an extended conversation about the business first, and now we're doing this personal conversation about you and your story. How is it, Louis, that you're able to function every single day with an optimistic attitude?
Well, I've had a lot of help on the way. Family, my wife has made sure that I eat healthily, at least once a meal. We are gluten-free and have been probably for even before it was a fad. Chris makes a wonderful meal every day that we're together. And I've always had an optimistic attitude. You know, it's like when somebody asks you how you're feeling, I don't tell them I hurt like crazy today.
Right.
You know, there are very few people on this earth that know how much pain I've carried because I just simply didn't want to have people
feel sorry for you.
I didn't want them to feel sorry for
me. Yeah.
That's not what
I want. Bottom line, right?
Yep. So now I'm in a position where I need help 24/7. I have to have somebody with me all the time. The longest I go alone is about 2 hours.
Yeah. Let me, you, in the state of Iowa, you are the face, or you were the face, of CBD. And we have had now a couple of conversations with a grower and also the official person who looks over cannabis production and hemp production here in the state of Iowa. How has, or if it has, have those products impacted you in your life?
Yes. And there are a tremendous amount of people out there, Michael, that have spent so much more time than I have on this. But I was asked, because of the fact that I have a business and gray hair, to help 4 years ago and 3 years ago, or 2 years ago. So I offered to do that. I wasn't afraid to tell people where I was getting my help. My dad, when mom and dad, when he was probably 88, encouraged me to get some of those patches. He had already done research. He said, when you go to Colorado with Chris and John, you make sure you go to one of those marijuana stores and get some patches for pain. Well, I took his recommendation. How can you not when your father's
dad,
telling
yeah,
you
right?
that in his late 80s? So I went to the dispensary and paid $20 for a patch and put it on. And within an hour, I woke up from a nap and I was pain-free for the first time at that point in 40-some years.
So, and again, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand, Robert Lewis, Louis, has been in pain for over 40 years, and you put a patch on that you acquired in Colorado, and that eased your pain.
It had CBD with THC, a small amount of THC, and the THC is the thing that will get you high, okay? The normal patches, I have never been high, but it takes my pain away.
Are there others in your situation?
Oh, there are so many. Yeah. And what I would do is I still am getting my patches illegally from different states because Iowa has not put the limit at the point where it does me any good. Okay? And CBD alone does not do me any good. I have to have the THC with it. And so because I was in the news at that time so much, I had a constant flow of people coming through my office. And here I became a drug dealer at some level, never charging for it, but they would tell me their story, and I would put one of my $20 patches on the table, and they would take it at the end, and 80% of the time, people that, for whatever ailment they had, it worked.
Okay. All right.
Took the pain away.
And that's, so many people live with so much chronic pain out there, and yet, it seems to me that we are paralyzed with regard to making a decision as to how we can best treat that pain. And we are in the midst of an opioid crisis where everybody talks about how many deaths there have been and the heroin addictions and all of these things. Yet, if there is something that comes from the ground that's a natural product that eases that pain, one would think.
Common sense.
Lacking sometimes, you think?
Yeah. And the interesting thing, Michael, is I've had a lot of people say, we should do this. It's the right thing to do. I've had other people that said it's a slippery slope. If we do the medical, it's a slippery slope. But those people, if by chance they have a family member that's affected with a condition that can be helped with the cannabis, guess what?
On board.
They're all over it.
Yeah.
All over it.
Yeah, we saw that as the mayor of West Des Moines was very instrumental in pushing the legislature.
She sure was. In fact, they had a proclamation the year that I was there that brought tears to my eyes because they were supporting me and what I was trying to do in front of a big rally.
Yeah, and you couldn't get much more Republican than my friend over there in West Des Moines. Yeah,
right.
And so this is really a bipartisan thing. Now, I want to come to another thing that kind of dovetails with your work in Questor and also CBD and THC and medical marijuana. Are you able to say what you did? You took a survey.
Yes. During the time that I was on the Hill working, we took a survey as part of the work that I was doing. I had no impact on that survey. The staff completely did it on their own. I had heard that there were 80% of the Iowans are in favor of medical cannabis, and I just could not believe this is like 4 years ago number. Well, lo and behold, we had a very substantial sample. We had 1,012 respondents, and 76% of the respondents, regardless of their age or their political affiliation, male, female, all inclusive, was 76%, except for one group, the 18 to 24-year-olds. They were 100%, and you know, they were probably thinking it's going to lead to something else, but 76% across the board, every age group. It was almost a straight line.
Hmm. And you are living proof of the fact that this stuff works. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
You know, recently there was a bill, there was a bipartisan bill that came through, and they wanted to increase in the CBD, and the governor vetoed that. So it would seem to me that if we're going to veto that, the pharmaceutical board said, no, we don't need to do this. And so the governor said, no, we're going to line item veto that. It would seem to me that if that's the case in the political atmosphere here in the state of Iowa, it's like a snowball's chance in hell that we're going to see any THC-infused medical cannabis in Iowa.
There can be some, but it's at a very low level.
0.3%, I think
it is. It's not very much.
Yeah. What do you think we should do, Louis?
Well, I would think that if you don't believe in the medical side of it, if you will, how it benefits people, I've got one guy that I had never met in my life who had chronic pain 1 year longer than I do, okay? He had a bike accident with his son when his son was he had his son on a burly behind him, had a bike accident, and this guy happens to be a hemophiliac.
Oh, my.
And so he has lived in chronic pain 1 year longer than I have. And I gave him one of my patches. And I thought, I didn't hear from him for like 2 or 3 days. And I thought, oh, it didn't work. Well, I got an email from him that if you could ever see tears in an email, they were there. He said, I slept for the first time in 40-some years.
My God.
No pain. None. How do I get these? And I said, well, I'm not going to put it in writing, but, you know.
I have a way.
He's gone out there. And then he came back, and I had some salve. The patch took about 2 hours for it to kick in. I had some salve that he used a great deal of it. His pain is from his knee to his groin, okay? And he smothered that area with that salve and left my office. I let him use my private office, and he put that on, and he left in his car. I got an email from him when he got home. He said, Louis, the pain was starting to subside before I got to my car.
Wow.
And, you know, I haven't talked to him in probably over a year now, but I hope he's getting it somehow, some way.
Yeah. If we are to err on the side, Louis, of compassion, you would think that maybe that would rule over and assuage the fear.
Yes. And you know what? The biggest reason I thought that we might get this thing done at a bigger level is monetary.
Hello?
It's another tax. That's fine. I think that California is charging 20% tax on it. I'm not sure. That's what I've heard. Okay? And I could go to Illinois and maybe get some of this, except they're sold out, okay, of what I need. And I was told that in the first 4 or 5 days that they had, the after January 1st, they sold $17 million worth of CBD and cannabis related products. Just think of the tax that they produced with that.
Yeah.
I figured it'd be monetary that we would get it done. But now everybody around us has got it. And here we are, little old Iowa, once again. Liquor by the drink. It took forever, I guess. I don't remember that. But you know, what's it going to take for everybody to realize when our citizenry wants this?
Yeah. His name is Robert Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. A very personal story about his pain and his comfort brought about by CBD and THC. And the overwhelming amount of personal story that he has with regard to how this has helped him. You are an inspiration, Louis. I got to tell you, if anybody would ever doubt the fact that there is hope in the future and really would become to understand that a disability doesn't take you out of the game, you can overcome that with a little help. You are that embodiment.
Well, I want to see how this turns out.
Right, don't you? Thank you, Louis.
Thank you.
Once again, that was Robert Louis Lewis from Questor. And we were talking all about interesting things as they pertain to disability and the disability-owned business enterprise. We will have links to Questor as well as Disability Inn up on our radio blog. That, I think, was an impactful piece. Not only talking about disability, but also about medical marijuana from someone who recognizes the potential value. Well, that wraps it up for another broadcast day. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us associated with the Business News Hour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted exclusively for us by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Louis Lewis, my name's Michael Libby. Have a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good day.